Once again, we are glad to have each and every one of you here this morning. This time has been set aside to study a portion of God's Word, and as we do the things that we hope are pleasing in His sight, we pray that we can learn some of those things that we can apply in our day-to-day life. For the time that we have together this morning, I'd like for us to discuss moral courage. In 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, and verse 13, we find Paul as he is writing there, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong." We want to talk about this being brave, or this moral courage that we need to have. One of the things that we recognize as we are growing up is that in childhood, there are going to be those times that are going to arise, those situations where things are going to frighten us. Things are going to cause us to be afraid. And we're going to need some bravery. We're going to need some courage on our part. As we grow older, as adults, and we look back to those childhood situations, we might think to ourselves there was really no need to be afraid because of wisdom that we had. But we were afraid, and we needed the courage that it would take to get through that. Early in our development also as children of God, one of the things that we learn is almost that same thing. That there are situations that are going to arise where we as the children of God are going to have to display a certain amount of courage. If we're going to overcome difficulties, and certainly if we're going to overcome temptations in our life, there are going to be those that are going to be in our lives who might influence us to compromise the truth, to compromise the belief that we have. There might be those that would want us to take the course of least resistance. And it is at that time that we are going to need the moral courage to endure, to make sure that we get through these times, that we do not yield to the temptations and therefore sin in the sight of God. We are warned in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. It says there, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." This word cowardly here also is talking about those who are fearful. We are warned then that those who are fearful are going to be among those that will have their place with Satan after the day of judgment. If we are to have a home in heaven, one of the things that you and I must do is that we must develop the moral courage to say no to temptation and to make this an everyday part of our lives. That word fearful, or that word cowardly there, simply means to dread something, to be timid about it. By implication, it also means to be faithless or fearful, as it is translated. And there are going to come times in our life when we are going to have the courage to take a stand for what is right. The fearful are going to be those individuals who are going to give in because of intimidation. And evil has a way of doing that to us. As it rears its head and as we face it, it is intimidating. And it causes us to be fearful. And we've got to develop in our life the courage to overcome that. Webster defines the word courage as the attitude or response of facing and dealing with anything recognized as dangerous, difficult, or painful, instead of withdrawing from it. The quality of being fearless or brave. And as we said, we recognize the fact that there will arise in our lives many times and many things that we would classify as being dangerous, as being difficult, or as being painful. These are the things that will come to us, and they'll come in many shapes, in many sizes, And they'll come from many sources, and we must be prepared. In Joshua, the second chapter, verse 11, we see a good illustration of it. We see what happened to those that lived in the city of Jericho when they heard concerning what God had done through the nation of Israel, how he had conquered the kings, and God had brought them through the wilderness. And Rahab makes the comment concerning the inhabitants of Jericho. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. That's what we're talking about this morning. Fear that causes the heart to melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in us, she says, because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven. That's what happens to us when we're talking about this idea of being fearful. Our heart melts within us. From time to time, we will face those situations. We will need the courage to face dangers and difficulties without withdrawing in fear and being afraid and maybe yielding to the temptation that we do face. But what is it that will give us courage? What is it that will come along in our life, or we might add in our life, or the knowledge we might know, where we can have the kind of courage that is necessary? What gives a person courage? One of the things that I believe that will give us courage is the fact that what the Lord has promised, and that is, he will never forsake us, nor will he leave us. As we are faithful unto him, we can take courage and we can take comfort in that fact that he is going to stand with us. He is not going to leave us alone. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, and also in verse 9, we can imagine, if we put ourselves in the situation that Joshua was in, how fearful it might have been for him, how intimidating it might have been. For God had, through the hand of Moses, led the children of Israel through the wilderness. And now Joshua was in charge of this great people of God. He was about to take them into the land of promise, where they would divide the inheritance that God had made unto Abraham, that promise that God had made. And this was a good responsibility for Joshua to undertake. But notice what was said to him. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go. He says, be strong, have courage, don't turn from the law that I have given you. And verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong, be of good courage, do not be afraid nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Don't you know that comforted Joshua? Don't you know that that gave him strength? That gave him the courage to go on? He was no longer dismayed or discouraged because the God of heaven was going to be with him. That same promise is given to you and I today, that as we are faithful unto him, he is going to be with us. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? As long as we abide in the will of God, in the commandments that he has given unto us, he is going to be with us. That should give us courage. This does not mean, of course, that God will be with us as we do whatever we want to do. As we go through the life that we have given unto us, making our own rules, setting our own standard of conduct, that God is going to be with us and he is going to stick with us through that kind of life. For when we forsake the God of heaven, There is a real need for us to fear. We ought to be afraid when we forsake him, when we turn away from his will. Israel is a good example before us of this fact. How that they in the book of Judges from time to time forsook the law of God, and how that he allowed them then to be handed over into the hand of oppressors, and how that they had to be delivered by the hand of God because of that. Here is an example before us of those who forsook God. There's a real need for us to fear if that happens. But as long as we are doing the commands of God, as long as we are abiding in his will, he is not going to forsake us. That should in itself build up our courage, make us be brave to stand against any temptations, any difficulties or painful situation that might come along. We can stand when we have this knowledge that God is with us. This is what can bring us courage. This is what can cause us to be brave. Also, we can be brave with the knowledge that the Lord's enemies are our enemies, that we have something in common, or that our enemies also would be his. When David, in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, went out to fight the Philistine giant Goliath, he knew that the victory was going to be his, and he could then courageously face this 9-foot warrior, even as a shepherd boy, and he would know that he was going to be victorious because God was on his side. If you remember there, the account in 1 Samuel 17 of how that Goliath had defied Jehovah. He had defied the God of Israel and made fun of him. How that he had challenged any one of Israel to come out and do battle with him one-on-one. Whoever would be victorious in that battle would be victorious in the day, and that army would take the other one. And Israel was afraid. There was no courage to be found in Israel to face this giant except David. David took strength in knowing whose the battle was. He recognized that it wasn't his, but that it was the Lord's, and that Goliath stood against Jehovah as Jehovah's enemy. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. This is what David said. He recognized the fact that Goliath was the enemy of God, and that Goliath was David's enemy, and that God was going to be victorious. And it wasn't that God was going to win by sword or spear. The Lord was going to win the battle. We can take comfort in the fact that knowing today, the battle that we are in is not a physical one, but it is a spiritual one. And God has provided for us the means whereby we can be victorious. In 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 3 through 5, we find, as Paul is writing there, giving encouragement to the saints at Corinth, he makes this statement concerning the warfare, concerning the things that they have to fight with. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." That is, they're not fleshly. They're not these material things that we can battle with. But he says, "But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, for casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." He talks about this here. He talks about the warfare that we have being a spiritual one. And he has provided for us the means whereby we can be victorious. We might say that the battle that we are in against Satan, the outcome has already been decided. God's going to win the victory. God has provided for us everything that we need. And we can take comfort. We can take courage knowing that he has provided these things for us and that we are going to be victorious. As we look back in recent years to the wars that the world was engaged in, one of the things that some nations took comfort in was the fact that the United States, as a mighty military power, was going to stand by their side. As they look back, if we look back to World War I or II, or the Korean conflict, or the Vietnam conflict, or others, these allies that we had took comfort in the fact that we were going to add our might, military might, to help them. They took courage in that. They felt like that they could have the victory then because of that. The enemies that we are going to face in our spiritual battle from day to day almost seem overwhelming. There is the tide of popular things that we have to face each day of our life, of the world wanting us to conform to it. There is the influence of the permissive society in which we live. And as we take these things all together, it seems as if they're going to overwhelm us. But we have an ally in God. We have a friend, and the battle is his. We are going to be victorious. That gives us comfort. That ought to give us all the courage that we need to overcome temptation. That we have an ally, we have a God that is stronger than any enemy we are ever going to face. As children of God, this ought to give us courage. This ought to cause us to be brave and not yield to the temptations that Satan would place before us. This will give us courage to know that. There's another thing that should give unto us courage, and that is that we can, as children of God, trust in God's promise, knowing that he is going to care for us. God is going to protect those that are faithful unto him, those that are faithful to his cause. We find that in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27, that it says there, the eternal God is your refuge, and every and underneath are the everlasting arms. Children of Israel could take comfort in this, that God was going to provide for them. He was going to take care of them. David took comfort in the same thing there in Psalms 121 and verses 5 through 8. We find that the psalmist writes, "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." The psalmist took comfort in this fact. God was going to watch over him. God was going to provide for that individual. And we can take comfort and courage in the same thing. We may not know how God's providence works. He does not work through miraculous means now, but he does provide for those who are his children. He takes care of them, and this should give us courage. The same God that knows when a sparrow falls, the same God who can number the hairs on your head, that same God is going to watch over you. He is going to take care of you. What courage a child can have whenever that child is afraid and can just hold the hand of a loving and a sacrificing parent. You know, as children, we were afraid of certain things. Even now we see children, our own children, are frightened by things. They might be afraid of thunder or lightning. They might be afraid of darkness. But what kind of comfort and what kind of courage do they take as they sit in the lap of their parents who love them and would do anything to protect them? You can feel the child in the lap as they begin to relax, as they begin to realize they're in the arms of safety. That's the way that we ought to be with God. God is going to provide for us. God is going to give us the things that we need. And so we can trust in the providence of God. And we can take courage in our day-to-day life knowing this fact. Also, I believe another thing that causes us to have courage is to have a proper fear for God. I believe this creates courage within us. This should cause us to be brave. When we are afraid of men, when we are afraid and intimidated of what they might do to us, there is a cowardness perhaps on our part. There is also maybe even a hypocrisy and a timidity on our part to take a stand for what is right, to take a stand for the way of God and the will of God. And in fear of what they might do unto us, in fear of perhaps we're going to offend them, we might do something we shouldn't do. We might compromise the truth of the Word of God. This is not what God wants of His children. Christ wanted to create courage in His disciples. I believe He wanted to create a bravery within them when He made the statement that He did in Matthew 10 and verse 28. He says there, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." He says, don't fear man. All man is able to do is to kill you. He is able to kill or take your life. We're going to lose our life anyway someday. But fear that one who is able to kill your soul and your body, or to destroy it both in hell. That's the one that you ought to fear. I believe that should create a courage within us to take a stand for what is right, regardless of the society that we might be in. Esther in the Old Testament showed a greater fear for God than she did for the king and all that he was able to do. If you remember the story, she was supposed to go before the king and to plead her case for the nation of Israel or for the Jews. And of course, the king, unless he received her into his presence, he had the right to put her to death. She knew that. But yet she had a greater fear for God than she did for the king. And because of that, she had courage then and the bravery to go before the king. This fear for God creates within us a courage. Also, another thing that will help create courage, the moral courage that we need, is knowing that God hears and God answers our prayers. David is a good example of one who found courage in prayer. In Psalm 71 in verses 1 through 5, we find that as he writes there, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong habitation, to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hands of the wicked, out of the hands of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth." David recognized this. He knew that God would hear his prayers and that God would answer his prayer. Over in Psalms 140, in verses 6 and 7, we find the psalmist making mention there. As he says, "I said to the Lord, you are my God. Hear the voice of my supplication, O Lord. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle." Here is one crying to God, and God answers the prayer of this individual. Knowing that God will hear our prayers and will answer our prayers ought to give us courage. ought to build us up and comfort us, knowing that he will listen to the things that we have to say, even if he doesn't answer it in a way that we think is best. You know, sometimes our thoughts and our ways and our plans are different from God's. We think ours are best, but God knows better. God knows better for us even more than we do. Knowing that God is in control, that his way is best, gives us strength, it ought to, that he listens to the things that we have to say, knowing that whatever hardship, whatever difficulty might come along in our life, he is going to provide for us the strength to endure it. He is going to give us the way of escape in those temptations. This gives us comfort. Also, we can see that the experience of past deliverance creates courage within us, creates a strong heart to be able to stand against temptation. And it is unfortunate that some people do not know this joy. They don't know the joy of past deliverance in times of trouble. David did. David knew of how God helped him. And so in that trust and confidence, he could always turn to God for help. Some Christians don't know that joy because they give in to temptation. They run from hard situations that they must face. They have not sought the help of God in the past, so they don't know that comfort. They are continually and constantly failing in their courage because they have a fear of the foe that they are facing, and they run rather than taking a stand. These are things that should create courage within us. The courage to stand for in our day-to-day life against temptations, knowing that God has promised not to leave us or forsake us, that his enemies are our enemies, that he is going to provide for us, that a fear for him and of him on a proper way creates courage, and that he answers the prayers that we have. God needs his children to be courageous. God wants his children to have the kind of courage to take a stand for what is right. And there are certain things that we need. We need brave parents. We need parents to take a stand for what is right. We need them to have the courage to do the things that God wants them to do. There is absolutely no doubt in the mind, I believe, of anybody that is here that the home as it has been designed by God is under attack. It is under attack. The morals of the home that God wants us, the fathers and mothers and children to have, they're under attack. There are pressures that are placed on fathers and mothers and children to conform to things in this world. And as you go out into society, you will find probably as many definitions of the home as you want to. And very few of them will be what God has designed, of how he has established things to be. We need brave parents. We need courageous parents in the home. We need mothers who are not influenced by the modern women that we read about in magazines and in the television. But I'm afraid that as we look to society, we find mothers who are influenced by that very thing. They are influenced by the things that they read about, that the woman ought to be this and the mother ought to be that. And we see it before us on television. We hear it on the radio. We read about it in magazines. The woman or the mother of society is that one who is successful if she minimizes her role as a mother. That if she gets away from the home, she is one that is successful. She is her own boss. She is not submissive to her husband at all. She must have a career outside of the home if she is going to be fulfilled, if she is going to be satisfied, if she's going to be a whole individual. This is what society tells us, that this is the kind of thing that the woman, that the mother must conform to if she's going to be happy. This is what we are told. What we need are the kinds of mothers and wives that are described in Proverbs chapter 31 and verses 10 through 31. That's the kind of woman, that's the kind of mother and wife that is approved in the sight of God. And we need women who will have the courage to do those things that God says and not cave in and not conform to what society has to say. We need parents that will have the courage to be the kind of example to their children and to teach them the Word of God. Not to teach them the dictates of the world and how to get along in the world and conform to the world, but how to get along with God and conform to the Word of God. Again, we need that kind of woman, that kind of mother and wife described in Proverbs 31. We need fathers who will bring their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, not in the ways of the world, not being conformed to the world, but having the courage to bring them up in the way that God wants children to be brought up. Fathers who will take the leadership in the home as God has given it unto them. We need men who have the courage to be loving husbands and fathers, not dictators in the home, not ruling their home out of fear and intimidation, but out of love. That's going to take courage on the part of that individual. We need fathers with that kind of courage. It's easy, and it is, we find it often, cowardly to go with the flow, to go along with everything that everybody else does. It takes courage to go against the popular beliefs that are found in the world and the things that everybody else is practicing. That's easy to do. That's a cowardly way out. We need to stand for what is true. We also need brave children. Brave children in the home. There are many temptations which will face children every day of their life. They are overwhelmed with some of the temptations. We look as older people and we say that they are faced with more. Probably they are. They're faced with more temptations than we were 20 or 40 or 60 years ago. There's still temptation there for us, was for us, but there is more to see that seems to be available unto them. They're overwhelmed with the availability of sex and of sexual temptations to do those things that are wrong, with drugs and alcohol, with worldly speech and dress, with music that ridicules moral principles and teachings that are found in the Word of God. These things that seek to break down scriptural teachings and principles, they're faced with that every day. And we need children who are brave. We need them to have the courage to say no, not just to drugs, but to all sinful situations. And if they learn it early, they're going to retain it all through their life. It's easy for them then later on as adults to say no. But if they don't learn it early, then it's also going to be true that it'll be harder for them to say no later on in their life. We need brave children with the courage to do what is right. We also need teachers and preachers with the kind of courage to take a stand for what is right. Paul made a statement in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3 that was prophetic, where he said there, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And it happened in his own lifetime. And it has happened every generation since then. People don't want to listen to the plain truth that comes from the Word of God. And so what we need are teachers and preachers and individuals who will not buckle under the pressure of the world. We need those to take a stand for the truth, not fearing that if we teach the truth, that people will think that it is too hard and we're going to run them off. We're going to intimidate them and they're going to think that it's too strong because of the teaching. These are individuals that like things to be spoken unto them. They like to hear certain things. They're more interested in pleasing man than in pleasing God. We need teachers who will, and preachers who will not buckle under that kind of pressure. We see that these are the individuals that mold the message to please the people. You know, that's not the way that it should be. It's the other way around. It is the Word of God that molds us, that makes us into the image of Christ. We don't take the message of Christ and try to fit it into the lives of individuals. And yet we find a lot of people doing that. We need the courage to do what is right. We need the courage to teach those things that are proper. We also need the courage many times to confess our sins. The prodigal son confessed his sins. He didn't know what the results were going to be. He knew that he was going to get forgiveness, but his concept was, I'll go back to my father and I'll just be a servant in his house. That's all that I ask. He received much more than that. He was prepared to receive the worst, but instead he was restored to sonship. We need the kind of courage to confess our sins. Sometimes many are too timid about confessing their sins. And they hide their confession in some kind of ambiguity that you don't know what they're saying. We all sin. And Jesus is willing to forgive us of our sins if and when we confess them. Many times there's not enough courage that is found. There's not enough humility found in people to do that. And as a result, I'm firmly convinced they're going to be lost. We need courage. We need the moral courage to confess our sins. There are many things that we need to be grave about, that we need to have the kind of courage that God offers unto us. He's there to provide for us the help that we need, and we need it. We need brave parents again. We need courageous children and teachers and preachers of the gospel of Christ. All of these things we must have. God is able to provide it for us. More than what we need, He is able to provide. We need to lean on Him. We need to turn to Him in these times of temptation, in these difficult situations which are going to arise in our life, and they will arise. Our life is not going to be one that is going to be smooth with nothing ever happening that is going to threaten our faith. It is going to be threatened. It is going to be tested. And we're going to need the courage that God can provide. If you're here this morning, not a child of God, what kind of moral courage, what kind of bravery do you have to set aside your own desires, to do exactly what God wants you to do, to have your life conform to His Word, to be humble as God wants you to be, and to be obedient? If you're outside of the fold of safety, you have to have courage. You have to have the kind of bravery that is needed to humbly submit yourself to the will of Christ, to the will of God. And you have an opportunity to do that this morning. If you are here and in need of submitting unto Him, the invitation is extended. We're going to stand and we're going to sing a song. And in these words, perhaps you will be persuaded. Surrender yourself unto Christ this morning. That is our prayer. That is our hope. Won't you do that as we stand and as we sing?